Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, as always. Will, as just mentioned, be taking your calls live right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial to get your questions answered live, just mention 888-ASK-HANK. Again, 888-ASK-HANK, and I will be going to your questions live in just a few moments. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our wonderful resource consultants standing by, as always, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Well, another first today. The very first Facebook Live question and answer. It was about an hour. We arbitrarily set it at 3 o'clock. I went live. It was pretty interesting. I just used my cell phone, and just a short time into the process, well, my screen went black a couple of times, and people were calling me, and so the screen was filled with the call. But it was live, and it was a lot of fun. I totally enjoyed it. It was foreign to me, obviously, but reinvigorating in many ways, a unique way for me to interact, engage, dialogue with all of you out there. And just a notification, if you were unable to have watched live, you can still head to the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Again, that's the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and you can watch it right now or anytime you want. Don't watch it now. Listen to the show. You can even catch a glimpse of my son, at least one of my sons, mischievous as always, ambushing me at various points during the Q&A session, asking me a surprise question that should have hurt my feelings. In fact, I'll tell you what it was. He asked me what it would be like for me to go through chemotherapy and then lose my hair. And obviously, a lot of people have asked me that question, a bit of a joke. I don't have much hair to lose. I grow out my ears, and that's about the only place it grows anymore. Again, check out the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Give it a like. Share it with your Facebook friends so that everyone in your network can benefit from the work we do here at the Christian Research Institute. If you haven't heard, I was diagnosed on Friday with mantle cell lymphoma. And it is going to require, if the Lord does not supernaturally heal me, an aggressive form of chemotherapy. And last night at 7:30, I was anointed and prayed for. And late last night, I got a call from Father Themi. Some of you might remember him. I had him on the broadcast. I call him the Mother Teresa of Orthodoxy. He was a wildly popular rock star. Then he went into the academic fields and got some PhDs. So he was an extraordinarily bright guy. And then decided to leave it all behind, give it away to the poor, and start a mission in Sierra Leone. He called me last night, fairly late, all excited, and saying, Hank, you got to know this. There are people all over West Africa praying for you. And think about that. There are people who are the poorest of the poor praying for me. Oh, I would urge everybody to pray for them. And the work of Father Themi, it is absolutely incredible what he is doing there. I'm thinking about going over there sometime in the near future if my health is sustainable. You know, it really gives you perspective. And I think that's what we all need, is perspective. Also wanted to mention before I go to our calls live that people continue joining the Bible Answer Man support team or the CRI support team. These are people that regularly support the ministry. You know, there are people who are the foundation to this ministry. Just read a couple of names: Daniel in Manhattan, Kansas, $25 a month; Paul in St. Charles, Illinois, $25 a month; Kevin, Wichita, Kansas, $25 a month; Vicky in Madison, North Carolina, $50 a month. You know, there are lots of people that give a lot more. There are people give all kinds of amounts. The real issue here is standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Obviously, I do what I do because life and truth matters. I've never had a politically correct vibe going on. This is for an audience of one, in the truest sense of the word. I am seeking through our life collectively as a staff, our lives, I should say, and through our ministry to worship God, to honor Him, to extend His ministry, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. I'm going to do what I've been doing for the last couple of days, kind of fun, taking your calls live, 888-ASK-HANK, and also taking your Facebook questions. I've just been going through them sequentially as they come in. So I'm not picking and choosing. As they come in, I get to them. If I don't get to your question, hopefully in the future I will. First call is from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Negusia? Is that right? Negusia?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Very good. How are you, sir? Thank you for your ministry. I listen to you every day. I appreciate your ministry, sir.
Thank you.
I have a question that my son asked me. You know, I'm a very Christian guy, and I'm trying to raise my son as a Christian. When he go to school, somebody told him that the earth has been 6 million years, and my son asked me, who created dinosaurs? So I'm a little bit confused to answer that question for him.
Yeah, I mean, in some sense, it is a very simple question to answer. In another sense, it's a very complex question to answer. The simple answer is to say God created all things. God created this universe, ex nihilo. He spoke and the universe leapt into existence, and He has created all things that inhabit this universe. Of course, in time, kinds reproduce after their own kinds. There are variations within kinds. So God created the dinosaurs. Now, if you want the progression of how and when, God has His book of nature, and you can look at the book of nature, and that book of nature will answer that question for you in a dynamic fashion. So we have to be careful not to ask the Bible to answer questions that the Bible was not designed to answer. And this is one of the questions that the Bible is not designed to answer. When you have the days of creation, they are 7 days, the 6 days, God created all things. Yom preceded by a numeral, first day, Yom preceded by a numeral, second day, and so forth. So what happens is we are meant through the days of creation not to get a time frame, but remember God's creative prowess during the cycle of everyday life. I would say one other thing, and that is according to the fossil record, dinosaurs first appeared during the Triassic period about, it's an estimate, 231 million years ago. The last dinosaurs died out about 65 million years ago at the end of the Cretaceous period. This was a mass extinction, likely triggered by a comet or an asteroid impact, at least that's a speculation. So dinosaurs roamed Earth for about 166 million years. That's what we find according to the fossil record. There's no question whatsoever that we have fossils of dinosaurs. Sometimes you get the wrong head on the wrong body. There's mistakes that are made. In general, though, let me say that I've answered these and many other questions in the Creation Answer Book. It's really, really important for us as Christians, and I can't emphasize this enough. It's important for us not only to do science well, but to do Scripture well. So we have to read the imprimatur of God, the universe that He has created, well, just as we learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. Let me take a Facebook question. This is from Steve. Do unborn children carry original sin? The answer is absolutely. Yes, they do, Steve. The child is born with a broken gene. Now, there's a debate amongst Christians whether or not a child inherits Adam's guilt. But the one thing we know is all are born with a sin nature. And we all ratify, as it were, the sin of Adam. I would argue that there are texts in Scripture that poignantly communicate the fact that the Son is not guilty for the Father's sin, nor the Father for the Son's sin. Every man will stand condemned based on their own sin, and therefore we are so grateful for what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, that we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Christ and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Of course, the early church never set faith and works in opposition to one another. It is just assumed that if you are one following Christ, you will do the works of Christ. And so when we stand before Him, we can stand before Him not clothed in our own self-righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I love what 1 Corinthians 3 teaches us in this regard. It teaches us that Christ is the foundation, but on that foundation we can build. And the day of the Lord will show what kind of materials we used as we built. So again, only one life, soon 'twill be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me take one more Facebook question, then I'll alternate back to the live questions, 888-ASK-HANK. Donato, listening, I don't know where Donato is, but the question, why did God leave room for people to be in doubt over His existence and love for His created children? Well, I'll tell you what, that, if there is doubt, it is only because of neglect. The reality is, you can see God's love manifest in so many different ways. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and God's loving kindness is everlasting. But the God we serve is not only a God of love, He is a God of justice. And we wouldn't want it any other way. Could you imagine going to a courtroom, someone rapes your daughter, you're watching the trial unfold, and the judge says, well, boys will be boys. Or can you imagine Hitler dying in the comforting arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences, a full-orbed view of God is a recognition that God is both a God of love and a God of justice. And His love for His creation extends not only to the fact that we can see God in His created handiwork. You know, as Pascal said, God dwells in enough light, so if you want to find Him, you will, and He dwells in enough obscurity. So if you don't want to find Him, you won't. But He gives you all the light that is necessary, and then He puts a knowledge of Himself on the tablet of your consciousness. I mean, this is just incredible when you think about it. And on top of all of that, His love for the world is ultimately manifest in that the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He's the head of His body, the church. Think about Christ, the image of the invisible God, coming into time and space so that we could know Him, and not only living an absolutely perfect life, the quintessential model, the second Adam, but then suffering more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all humanity so that we could be reconciled to Him. for time and for eternity. So the question, why did God leave room for people to be in any doubt? Answer, he did not. There's no doubt about his existence. You look at the stars, you know there is a star creator. And his love for his dear children manifest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I see if I can add this real quickly because we're almost up to a hard break. But Paul said, from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and place that they should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Again, we're coming to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Next question up, a live question as the questions come in. We'll take some other Facebook questions. We've got the quote of the day coming up later on. Stay tuned. You don't want to touch that dial. And God bless all of those that are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally?
Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. If there is one gift I wish to give you, says J. Warner Wallace, it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, Mr. Randy, and as I mentioned at the opening of the show, I've been thrown into the deep end of the pool when it comes to Facebook, and so I'm asking people to visit the Facebook page. Again, that's the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Like the page if you enjoy listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Give it a review. This can be part of your contribution to expanding the outreach of the Christian Research Institute and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. The numbers are simply staggering to me, and I am thankful for the many people that are interested in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And as I said, as I was going to break, deeply, deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. I've never been politically correct, and as a result, we've taken many hits. We're going through that kind of hit period right now, and the internet trolls are at work, and I'm just asking people that love the Ring of Truth to stand with us. Again, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk directly to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI all this month available for those who support the ministry. The book by J. Warner Wallace. You can find that on the web at equip.org. He's got a bunch of books, and his latest book is a must-read. Some of you are familiar with Cold Case Christianity. He is a homicide detective, and he investigates the claims of the Gospels in Cold Case Christianity. But what he does in his latest book is he makes a case for making the case. His book is called Forensic Faith. If you don't have it, you absolutely want to get it. I wrote a glowing endorsement, and I mean every word, available for those who support all this month. And those who join the monthly or the regular support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. I have the great joy to do that every day, personalize a book to you, a family member or a friend. Check that out on the web, equip.org. Back to our callers. Next up is Al, listening in Washington, D.C., on the web. Hi, Al.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. God bless you. First of all, I just wanted to say that I'm encouraging all my friends and everybody that's listening to pray for you as if they were praying for their own souls, for their own issues. Deeply moved by what's going on in your life, and I just want to say that, again, my prayers are going out for you.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
So, I've always been wondering how to make sense of the scripture when David said that, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread," and because I've seen so many people that I deem to be righteous, and they struggle so much, so I just wanted to see if I could have you just help me to make sense of that scripture.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I ended the Facebook Live session that I did today, 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, with notating something, which is ever more present in my mind. And these are the words of Scripture: "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be answered." And what this verse tells us is the generosity that we ought to have towards those that are suffering. And the righteous in this sense are delineated as those who are always generous and lend freely, and therefore their posterity is blessed. But I think that there's a larger issue going on here as well. I've often quoted Charles Haddon Spurgeon on this point. He, of course, was the Prince of Preachers, and he said this. He said, the old covenant was a covenant of prosperity. Remember, this is a theocratic kingdom that he's talking about. The new covenant, he said, is a covenant of adversity, whereby we are being weaned from the present world and made meet for the world to come. And I think those words have the ring of authenticity, and that's why I stuck them in my memory bag. I've often quoted this because the reality is the worst thing that we can do is become addicted to this world and the things of this world. And I'll tell you, it's very, very easy to do, particularly if you become successful. Successful in your investments, or successful in publishing, or successful in any sphere of life. It is so easy to become attached to the things of this world. And what does James say about that? I mean, he has some pretty strong words for those who get attached to this world. I'm thinking about what James says in James chapter 4. "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, we'll make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow." Boy, I can really relate to that. I mean, one day I'm thinking I'm perfectly fine. I got a little cough going on. Don't know what it is. Doctor gives me cough suppressant, doesn't work. And the next day, I get a diagnosis. All of a sudden, I have cancer. So I love the words of James. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, "If it be the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." And then he goes on. I'm not going to quote further except to say he goes on to talk about, "You rich people, weep and wail because of your misery coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted. Moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver has corroded. Your corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last day." I mean, you read this and it really, really becomes, if you order your life around the divine, it becomes extraordinarily convicting. So instead of looking to building bigger barns on this earth, accumulating more things, consider your things like manna that you can give to other people. And then you will have your priorities in order. And eternity awaits, and there is nothing like eternity. We're looking forward to it with great anticipation, whether we're young or old, rich or poor, healthy or not healthy. I mean, we're all looking forward to resurrected bodies, and that's where we need to fix our gaze.
Amen. Well, thank you very much.
You got it.
Be blessed. I look forward to getting the good news that God has healed your cancer.
Thank you, Al, and thank you for your prayers and for the prayers of family and friends, as you mentioned. Let's take one other live call. CD in Abilene, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, CD.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
My question is, you made a statement about a worldly take on with science, talking about a meteor hitting and dinosaurs dying and whatnot. As a born-again believer, I don't deny that there ever was, what we call dinosaurs. But the Bible gives us very clearly what happened with the flood. It says that God looked at all flesh, not mankind, but all flesh. And so we see the flood there that God had. And matter of fact, that's my question to you, is how do you take, if I understood you correctly, how are you taking the world and putting it into the Bible instead of the truth that's already in the Bible?
Yeah.
Or did I misunderstand you?
Well, I think you sort of got it, and I appreciate your question and the passion with which you're asking the question, because it's instructive for all of us. I mean, we should really care deeply about the Word of God and love it and learn to read it properly. My contention has always been that the biblical text is not designed to communicate whether the blood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. I think that debate is ultimately settled by a proper reading of the book of nature, and I mentioned that. Of course, the book of nature is not something I came up with. If you want to become real conversant with it, simply read the first four verses of Psalm 19. But the second thing I'd say in this regard is, since civilization was largely confined to the Fertile Crescent, I don't think you have to automatically presume that the floodwaters covered the whole globe. When the Bible tells us that the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart, I think that's 1 Kings chapter 10. When you read that, I mean, only the most ardent fundamentalist interpretation supposes that to include Aborigines from Australia and indigenous people from the Americas. So here's the thing we can be certain about. The text of Scripture, both old and new, communicates the reality of a great flood in which only a few people, eight in all, were saved. The other thing I would say is there are a lot of young earth creationists, and you sound like you might fit into that particular perspective. Wonderful people that love the Lord. They don't make their position an acid test for orthodoxy. But they've questioned some of the things that they used to communicate. For example, the Paluxy Riverbed Prince. They used to use that as an example of, here we have humans and dinosaurs walking the earth together. But they are commended for following facts and tracks, if you will, wherever they lead. And I love what the Institute for Creation Research did in this regard. They have a little publication. It's called Acts and Facts. I've read it for years. In fact, I've contributed to it over the years. And in that, they now say that scientists must always be willing to reevaluate prior interpretations once new data becomes available. Now, if you've been listening to this for any period of time, you'll be familiar with the fact that creationists have rightly accused evolutionists of being closed-minded on key issues. Well, if we're accusing them, we cannot afford to become like them in this respect. Jesus Christ claimed to be the truth, and since we follow him, we must be lovers of truth. Again, here's the short answer, though, to your question. Capsule form. It is that you don't want to ask the Bible to answer questions that the Bible isn't designed to answer. You know, the Bible doesn't give us all the details. What it does give us is the unfolding plan of redemption, the grand meta-narrative. The first man, Adam, sinned, and as a result of that, all of creation was cast into chaos. But the last man, Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he has put all things to right, and that ultimately will be revealed when he appears the second time. We are coming to station break. Quote of the day at the end of the, when we come back, and then more answers, Facebook and live. Stay tuned for that.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it, if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day actually came across my email just moments before I went live on air today, and this actually originates with a friend of mine named Mark DeMoss. He and April are two of my most respected friends. I have such great respect for both of them. But on Christmas Day, his son Mookie gave him a framed copy of the words to a hymn that he'd come across. This hymn was by the Puritan churchman Richard Baxter. Richard Baxter, I don't know exactly when he died. I think it was 1681. But Richard Baxter was a great theologian, a hymn writer, a poet, and that's going to be the quote of the day. But let me give you a little context, because I think it's very relatable. Mookie found this hymn, so Mark's son Mookie found this hymn, December 13, the day before Mark and April would get our children together, he says, on the phone and tell them of his cancer diagnosis. Now, the backstory on that's very interesting. Mark and I were playing golf together the end of November, and we had caddy. We're playing at Bay Hill, the course that Arnold Palmer built. And as we were walking along, we had a conversation. In that conversation, I said to Mark, you know, we can never take for granted our ability to play golf as we're doing right now. We don't know what next year will bring. And sure enough, a few days later, I got a call from Mark, not a few days, but a few weeks later, I got a call from Mark, and he said, I remember those words. And he told me about his cancer. And Mark has become a sort of a mentor to me. He's walking me through what he went through with this chemotherapy, kind of giving me a heads up of what to expect. And he now is close to the end of his journey in terms of cancer. And I've been praying for him diligently on an ongoing basis. And now he's praying for me and walking me through and being my guide. So this is a very precious thing that he sent to me. Mookie and Hank Jr., they're both great golfers. I mean, Mark and I used to be able to beat them. We can't do it anymore. We can't even sniff them anymore. They're in a whole other league. But I always thought maybe I can give my son another run for his money. But no, I think those days are over. And I think Mark would say the same thing about Mookie. These guys are, our sons are great players. Anyway, here's the quote of the day. Long prologue, but hopefully meaningful to you. Again, by Richard Baxter. Lord, it belongs not to my care, whether I die or live. To love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, yet why should I be sad? To welcome endless day. Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. He that into God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. Come, Lord, when grace has made me meet thy blessed face to see. For if thy work on earth be sweet, what will thy glory be? That I shall end my sad complaints and weary sinful days and join the triumphant saints that sing my Savior's praise. My knowledge of that life is small, the eye of faith is dim, but 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. Again, Mark just sends that to me today, and hope it has blessed you in the same way that it has blessed me. Let's go back to our Facebook questions. Let me see, where am I? Okay, Denise, she's asking, please discuss the Lake of Fire as a literal place. Well, Denise, I will tell you this. We need to be very familiar with the metaphors of Scripture. Scripture talks about hell as burning sulfur. It talks about hell as a lake of fire. It talks about hell as blackest darkness forever. All of these are metaphors that explain what it will be like to live in eternity separated from the goodness and the grace and the glory of God. Why is hell so horrible? Well, it is because we were created for intimacy with God, relationship with God. And to be deprived of that for all eternity is hell. And people that go to hell go to hell not because God threw obstacles in their path, but rather because they don't want a relationship with God. Now, God could force them into his loving presence, but then heaven wouldn't be heaven, heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in hell against their will, which would be a torture worse than hell. So the idea here is very simple. The metaphors in Scripture are designed to tell us how horrible it will be to be separated from God for all eternity. Again, there's a great precedent for what I'm saying, particularly when it comes to fire. Many of you will recall that God's throne is ablaze with fire, and it's on wheels. Again, if you take that in a wooden, literal sense, it reduces Scripture to nonsense. You want to read things in the sense in which it is intended, not in a woodenly, literalistic sense. The Bible talks about the tongue being a fire. Well, I've never seen anybody with their tongue on fire. It's a metaphor for just how deadly the tongue can be. So is hell real? Absolutely, it is real. Is it eternal? Absolutely. Is it everlasting? Yeah, same essential answer. But is it literally fire? No, these are metaphors to explain the horror of hell. I've written about this in a couple of places. One, my book Afterlife. Another, my book Resurrection. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Greg. I guess his question very similar. Is there a literal hell? Answer, I already answered that question in the last answer. What do you believe about the Intercontinental Church of God? Oh my goodness, that's a big story. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to work with the Worldwide Church of God after Ted Armstrong died. And then, as a result of Garner Ted Armstrong. I'm getting ahead of myself, Herbert W. Armstrong. He was the founder of this this cult, quite frankly. And then Garner Ted Armstrong, his son, has his own little permutation of it right now. But what happened was the successor to Armstrong was a guy named Joseph Tkach. And he started to realize that the theology of Armstrong was way off. And he died. I went to his funeral. And then his son took over, Joseph Tkach Jr. And he wanted to make a radical shift. He and many of the leaders of the Worldwide Church of God called me. We had many meetings about this. And long story short, God used our ministry to help this cult come completely out of cultism to Christ. And now they had a real conundrum on their hands. And that is, they needed to reach the people that they had taught things to for many, many years. Instead of fragmenting them, they had to preach. That was their audience. And so you had to find out, how can we keep from seeing splintering within the Worldwide Church of God, where people go to all kinds of other cultic groups? How can we reach people with the gospel? And many, many, many people have been reached. The work that Joseph Tkach Jr. and many, many, many others, I could go through the list, I won't do that, of key leaders in that group. A very, very successful group. They owned large portions of downtown Pasadena. But this was a great story of a cult that came to Christ. But there were splinter groups, and one of the splinter groups was the Garner Ted Armstrong group. Continued to deny the doctrine of the Trinity, deny the personality of the Holy Spirit, the eternal punishment of the wicked, which I just talked about. They talk about the need to observe the Saturday Sabbath and feast days and all these kinds of things. And these are acid tests for orthodoxy for them, their orthodoxy, which is not orthodoxy at all. So this splinter group continues on, and it is very, very detrimental to the people that adhere to it, because they're buying into a paradigm which compromises the very nature of God himself. And I can't think of anything worse than that. So when you deny the Trinity, think about those who are modalistic, or think about the Muslims that are Unitarian. They have actually given their adherents a morally defective God, because absent the universe, God would not be able to manifest the attribute of love. The attribute of love always requires a beloved and a lover, and really a witness to all of that. So a Trinitarian God, absent the universe, would have love as an attribute, but not a Unitarian God. And now the great truth for all Christians is that we are brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. It's the name of a great book I'm going to talk about sometime later on in the broadcast. Impacted my life reading that book. And we'll talk about that on a future show. I'm not going to take any more questions. So many others that I'd like to get to. Hopefully we'll be able to get to them in a future edition of the Bible Instrument Broadcast. We've got some incredible shows coming up the rest of the week. We won't be taking calls live for the rest of the week, simply because I'm going to be out of town. I have to go to New York and attend to some things that are very important, including a PET scan that I'm going to have. So we have some shows where I did incredible interviews with people that you just don't want to miss. Some live Bible Answer Man broadcasts that I've never played, and that'll play out for the rest of the week. Don't miss a single edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as you're going to get better and better, as it has by God's providence for many years. And I want to end this broadcast just by a comment that I got. Touched me. So Sherry, she said, I am praying for you, and while the nation is praying, would you please consider looking into researching the Gerson miracle? And my friends and family wish you the best. I was so thrilled when you made that comeback on KKLA in the evening. I hope, Lord willing, that you will be with us for many, many more years, my friend and radio mentor. We love you, Hank. Touched my heart. Thank you so much for Sherry's comment, but it echoes the comments of so many, that it give me strength and a blanket of peace to go on with. Look forward to seeing you next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Don't miss a single broadcast this week. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.